That very disturbing Wells Fargo scandal this fall appears to have a new dimension. The insurance company Prudential announced on Monday that it was suspending sales of life insurance policies sold through Wells Fargo because last week, three former Prudential employees filed a lawsuit claiming that they were fired after they reported evidence that Wells Fargo opened fraudulent insurance accounts in customers' names and had premiums withdrawn without their consent or knowledge. Exactly the kind of bogus account creation that led to the resignation of Wells Fargo's CEO John Stumpf in October. The former Prudential employees and whistleblowers also found evidence that Wells Fargo specifically targeted customers who did not speak English. Joining me now is Sheila Kahatkar, staff writer at The New Yorker, who's been following the Wells Fargo saga. Sheila, welcome.
Hi.
So, first of all, is there a firewall between Prudential and Wells Fargo? Would this naturally be expected to happen on a scale that because Wells Fargo is a pretty big bank.
Well, one would hope not. But when the original Wells Fargo scandal sort of burst into public view in late September, it had all the markings of something that was going to balloon and turn out to have touched other companies and possibly other parts of the bank. Because, of course, you had a sort of a corrupt culture. You had an incentive system where people had these really aggressive sales targets and they were threatened with job loss if they didn't meet them. And they were really sort of unrealistic. It appears that you had layers of management at Wells Fargo looking the other way or penalizing people for complaining about this. So it was sort of inevitable that it was going to affect other people doing business with Wells Fargo. And that seems to have been what's happened here with Prudential.
Do these three employees of Prudential who filed this lawsuit, did they see something that was going on at Wells Fargo, or did they see something independent?
Well, so when all this made news in the fall, it got a lot of attention, and the folks at Prudential did what you would expect an insurance company to do in the situation. They decided to do their own forensic analysis just to make sure everything was okay. And they had an investigations group looking into this, and the individuals who filed this suit are from that group. They started analyzing this very high sort of complaint or cancellation or non-retention rate of these insurance policies. So a lot of policyholders were signing up but not continuing the payments. It seemed very odd. And what these folks have alleged in this lawsuit is that they noticed this. They, you know, they were reading email traffic and complaints. They saw that a high proportion of them came from people who required Spanish interpreters. Mm-hmm. And they are alleging that their managers at Prudential did not want to sort of act aggressively on this or sort of didn't really want to hear it. And it's not clear why that would have been the case. I mean, that's something that's going to get sorted out. But you know, there are a lot of echoes in this case to what's happened at Wells Fargo itself.
You say that the culture is what engenders this sort of thing. I mean, from my taste, I would just love to know who is it who figured out we can just make up accounts and sign people up for them. I mean, I would think an alarm would go off if you do something like that, but apparently not.
Well, I've spoken to other financial executives about this situation, and folks have said to me, listen, if you tell people you're going to give them incentives to do X, they're going to do X. I mean, you provide incentives for the thing that you want more of, and you create, you know, a stick or a disincentive for the thing that you want less of. And it really appears that at Wells Fargo, there were these really, really aggressive, you know, incentives and a lot of pressure on people. And there was no countervailing reward to be had for pointing out fraudulent activity. No one was giving you an employee award for standing up and saying, you know, I put a halt to this aggressive sort of sales stuff that was going on. It seemed that those people were getting punished. So the message was very clear. You either kind of went along with the system and you kept your mouth shut, or you were out.
The disturbing element of this Prudential case about people who don't speak English, I'm wondering if there's any way to know if banks view their customers as more or less vulnerable to this kind of thing and have an idea of how they might be able to pressure people to buy things that they don't necessarily need.
Well, there's a long tradition in the banking industry and in other industries, frankly, of profiting often unfairly from customers who are not very sophisticated financially. And this is something that comes up again and again when frauds are exposed. For example, during the subprime mortgage crisis, you know, there were many of these really, really sort of predatory, awful loans being given to people Many of them immigrants, low-income folks who did not really understand what they were getting into. And this has been proven again and again to be a successful profit-generating tactic for a lot of financial companies until they get called out on it. And, you know, in this case, targeting people whose English is not very strong seems extremely cynical. But that is certainly what these people are alleging. I mean, I think it was a very high percentage of people complaining, you know, or who were signing up for these accounts and required language interpreters. So it's a real sign that they were just, they had no idea what they were even getting involved in.
Do we know the dollar amount of the prudential fraud or alleged fraud, or I don't know what you wanted to say? We had a sketchy amount from the Wells Fargo side, but what about Prudential?
Well, this appears to be a bespoke insurance product that was designed specifically for Wells Fargo to sell through its branches to these sorts of people who, for whatever reason, did not have access or did not want to pursue insurance policies that were more traditional. For example, typically to get a life insurance policy, you need to have a health exam. And so this was something that Prudential came up with this idea that you could just sort of sign up yourself. Mm. There were kiosks inside Wells Fargo, so they were very low premium policies. And you could also sign up online. So, you know, most people, when they would investigate something like this, they would go to an insurance broker. Someone would come and do a blood test and see what their cholesterol level was. And then you'd get a quote for what it's going to cost to insure you for 20 years based on your health profile. These were people who didn't have access to that for whatever reason. And Prudential decided that this was a market that they
And you
felt-
get enough of them, it's it all sort of fades into the background and you don't have to worry about it so much. Sheila Kotkar is a staff writer at The New Yorker who's been following the Wells Fargo saga. This isn't the end of this, right?
I think there will be more.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.